Now page 6. I hope you've been studying this picture a little bit. A long time ago, my daddy bought me this set of books, and it has a full-page picture every other page throughout the several volumes of history. And it's this way that I learned much of history. And I'm very thankful for it and for God preparing me years ago as a small boy. But if you can imagine worse torture, I'd like to know what you could think of. The agony that Christians were put through in these 10 periods of persecution are just unbelievable. How you can have persecution, torture, tribulation, call it what you will, worse than these early Christians went through is very difficult to contemplate. Now, coming to the reading alongside the picture, Paul knew he was through tribulation. All right, look at Acts 20. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. No, that isn't what it says. See, they changed the word again. This is the 14th use of tribulation. Bonds and tribulations are remaining for me. Not affliction, tribulation. All right, here's the next one. The tribulation of us, namely the one having come to pass into Asia. We had that before, I'm repeating it, so that we despaired even to be living. You see? He had that kind that proceeded in Smyrna by 10 days. In other words, that was the earlier one. That came ahead of the Smyrna tribulation. And that I've given you back already on page 3. Now look out. I'll show you why I'm doing this in a minute. Note a still earlier period of tribulation, Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. On the margin, note how the King James further confuses the subject. You see, they've got persecution in now. On the one hand, therefore, the ones having been dispersed from the tribulation, namely, there is a tribute of position, the one having come to pass over Stephen. That's Acts 11:19. Now, you take a marker or pencil, colored pencil. Notice that the one in Asia, it was in that position too. See, namely, back up there a minute, the tribulation of us, namely, the one having come to pass in Asia. See that? Now, look at this one. On the one hand, therefore, the ones having been dispersed from the tribulation, namely, the one having come to pass over Stephen. Now, mark those two, because they're going to be very important because of that way they're worded. Now, this was the stoning of Stephen. And again, I put a small picture there. By using a colored marker on Stephen and just marking him in, the picture stands out a little bit better anyway. Now, the stoning of Stephen began a period of tribulation. Note the statement of Jesus to his disciples. In the world you are having tribulation. Look at John 16:33, King James. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Note the uses of tribulation with the article, and then study the chart. Now, go to the top of page 7, where we're ready to put a little of this together. I think you've seen enough evidence to refute that first lie that's going on, that you're to be rich and wealthy and happy and so forth and so on. This is not true. In the world, you have tribulation, and this is spoken, of course, to the apostles particularly, but it's emphasized by the whole series we've already been through. Now, I've made a dotted line across there. Again, a colored marker across it will help it a great deal. I'm sorry, I don't have that kind of money to print in color. I'd love to. All right, the first one that occurred at 33. See that number? That's 33 A.D. Of course, they always started after the cross. None of this that we're talking about is before the cross. We're talking since the cross, particularly. Not that they didn't suffer before. They did. But this is different. The tribulation, namely the one having come to pass over Stephen. Now, that was the beginning. But see the article. And see the namely. Now, the next one, we don't know when that particular area came into being, the date on that particular one that Paul suffered, the tribulation of us, namely the one having come to pass in Asia. But we do know that it was ahead of this Smyrna one, because this was the one in which Paul was killed. The tribulation of you, Smyrna. Now that's the Smyrna tribulation, and that's you is for the church. There, of you, tribulation of you, and that's in 64, started under Nero, and it went until 254 A.D. Now, what you can do, it may help you a little bit, is go back and look down that bottom of page 5. See the series? It goes to Diocletian, who was really the last, at 254 A.D. That's the one they usually consider the last. Now, from 68 to 70 A.D., John wrote Revelation, see, and he talked about the tribulation. Now, I've marked it the tribulation. I've marked it in color, and I put it across there. And I've given you the start of these things. I'm going to show you how they go together in a moment. Now, Revelation 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, I'm reading King James, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Note again the King James omission of the article. They've done this constantly, and the subject becomes very clouded, almost impossible to follow. I, John, your brother and fellow partner in the tribulation. So you see, John was living in the tribulation. And that's why I put him above. See, right above you there in the chart, 68 to 70 is when he wrote, and he was put on the Isle of Patmos, and he was subject to the tribulation. This was going on. This article requires you to ask, what tribulation? Now, let me explain that a little to some of you that don't understand. Whenever you see the article, like if I say to you, did you see the fire? Then, of course, you'd say, what fire are you talking about? See, it makes you ask me a question. Or you already know it, and you may talk to me and say, well, yeah, I saw that last night, and you know what I'm talking about. But otherwise, you have to ask. Now, if I say to you, did you see a fire? And they might say where or when or something else, but it doesn't have that specificness to it that is brought in by the article, the. And that's why it's important, and I've got these hands all over this booklet to show you wherever they are. Consider some further uses of the word tribulation by Paul in relation to believers, Romans 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, hope. Now, you see, people take and read this in the King James, and they make this a general idea. You know, if you suffer a little bit, well, you learn a little patience. That isn't what he's saying. But not only this, but we are also boasting, this is an exact translation here, in the tribulations, those are the individual ones that you're all individually having, knowing absolutely that the tribulation, this period in which they lived, is working out perseverance. But the perseverance, proof. But the proof, hope. See all those articles in the front. What tribulation? Paul did not offer any hope that Christians would escape the tribulation. Look at Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he's quoting from Psalm 44, which is talking about the Jews nationally. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And so you see, he's talking about the fact that nobody's going to separate them from the love or charity of the Messiah. Now look at the exact translation alongside. Who will separate us from the charity? Now, they've used the word love, I use the word charity, because the two words in Greek, love, one is love of affection, and this is doing something for somebody. Who will separate us from the charity? You have in the King James, charity suffereth long and is kind. That's right. Charity is better there, far better. Who will separate us from the charity of the Messiah? Tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or dagger? There's no sudden rapture here. There's no sudden rapture in that at all. All right, now let's go a little further, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, in this case, it looks in the King James as though we have some troubles, but they're really light compared to what's coming. That isn't what it's saying. For the momentary lightness of the tribulation of us. So they were in a light period of the tribulation. Of us, by the way, let's see, I marked it there, is not in some manuscripts. The tribulation was sometimes less severe. Now, in America, it's very fertile territory for the propagating of this lie, because we have Social Security, and we have all kinds of medical attention. And we haven't been destroyed, property destroyed from atom bombs and that kind of thing. So you see, our people are easily deluded into the idea that we should always have it rosy. And that is not true. But we will have tribulation. Momentarily, the tribulation for us has been light. And for that, I thank the Lord. But if you look around the world, the tribulation among the Christians in Russia has been terrible. The tribulation of the Christians in China has been terrible. The tribulation of the Christians in Uganda has been terrible. So the tribulation is constant all over the world, sometimes much worse in one country than another, sometimes much worse at one period than another. Now look at this, Romans 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. But that is not, again, what it says. In the hope, rejoicing in the tribulation that they were going through right then. In the tribulation, that's the 22nd use, by the way. Persevering in the prayer, enduring steadfastly. Again, we ask, what tribulation? That's what the article, The, makes you ask. The periods of church history, Revelation 2:3, show a continuing tribulation for Christians. Under the seventh world power, the papal empire, 150 million or more persons have been slaughtered. Think of it, under the papal empire. And the Pope goes around acting as though he's a great peacemaker and so forth, which is far from true. The papacy has put to death 150 million or more persons. Now, you can see the courses on Revelation and Mysteries, as well as Histories and Encyclopedias. The courses referred to Mysteries and Revelation are one that I have. Note this chart of the first churches. And note also Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's about time you got one and copy at the library or bought one in a bookstore and sat down and read it. Because otherwise, you're going to be deluded by this propaganda that's pouring over the television and radio, and you're going to be swallowed up in this idea there. Propagating, you're going to be well and going to be healthy and so forth. Now, will you notice that back when we started with Israel, coming out of Israel, we formed the first church. They were Jewish Christians at Ephesus, that period of church history, and they let go of their first charity. It says first love, that charity, that's doing something, the study of scriptures. And Ephesus means desired or aimed at. And these were persecuted. The early Christians, all Jewish initially, were persecuted by Jews. And he says in there that he hated the works of the Nicolaitans. Now, immediately after that, that was very short, we went into the period called the Smyrna period, which I've shown you. Now, I've put these periods of continual persecution, tribulation is a continual word, I'm just trying to keep emphasizing it to you. Now, the Gentiles are added through great tribulation, and there isn't any condemnation of the Smyrna church in the Revelation. And so this is a suffering church, but through the horrible suffering of the tribulation, many Gentile believers were brought into the church, and the church now became a unit of Jews and Gentiles. Now, in the Pergamos church, which immediately follows, Constantine came to power in 324 A.D. with the title Pontifex Maximus, same as your Pope, Pontifex Maximus. And the donation of Constantine turned it all over to the papal system. Now, he advocated Christianity, but at the same time, he was an idolater. And Satan's throne was now at Rome. Pergamos means thoroughly married. And they held the doctrine of Balaam and of intermarriage with heathen and the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which was the doctrine of rulers of the people. And this whole system came into the pagan Romanism as we now know it. Again and again, the King James has omitted the article the before tribulation. From the martyrdom of Stephen until the present time, the church has been in constant tribulation. Don't forget the great numbers of Christians who recently perished in China, Uganda, and Hitler's Holocaust. Some places and sometimes the tribulation has been lighter. Recently, because we in the United States have been so blessed, many have been teaching the great tribulation of Revelation 7:14 is future, and the church will not be then on the earth. Now, that's the thing that I want to particularly bring out in this course, and I'm going to show you that's total false, and you better be alerted to it. First, let us study the passages, and then find out how this idea has come to be so well entrenched. But right now, I've shown you thus far that all the way up until 324 A.D. and the Constantine, there was constant tribulation. Now we go to Revelation chapter 7, page 9. Let's go down through the King James first, and I'll comment a little bit on the underlying portion. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. I'll hold the comments until we go to the side. Excuse me. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. He shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living waters, fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now come to the side, and we'll go through this, because this is a crucial passage. This is where we are, a very crucial point. We'll have to spend some time on it. Let me ask some questions as we proceed. In verse 9, which not one was being able to number it. Now, Revelation 7:9 in the King James says, which no man could number. Now, I've amplified that a little bit because of a close exact translation. Not one was being able to number it. Why? Well, it gives you the impression King James would just because there were so many. No, that won't work because there is no number that God cannot number. And you say, well, it says no man will number it. That's true. But there isn't any number that man can't number. Given time, you can sit down and count as high as you want to count. Nothing's stopping you. You can count because we do count, and we know the total population of the entire world. Maybe approximately, but you could sit down and count them if you wanted to. Why weren't they able to number? It says not one was being able to number. Why? One reason. Because the number was too big? I ask the question further. Hardly. More likely because those truly saved are known only to God. That's one possible reason. You're going to see another one in just a little bit. Just go further. Then I put more of 9 in the consistent translation, verse 9. Having stood and still standing, you see, these are the people that have come out and they're having stood and still standing. See, they've gotten King James stood before the throne. That's all they've got, but you don't get the whole idea at all. And it mentions the fact also that they were clothed in verse 9, clothed with white robes. But look, cast around with, having been and still cast around with white stoles. Now, I'll explain this for some of you that are new and some of you need the review anyway. Notice that I've translated the verbs and the one Greek verb, having stood and still standing. See those hyphens between it? That tells you it's a perfect tense and they all go together. They were having stood at some earlier time and were still standing there. They were having been and still cast around with white stoles. I haven't tried to translate the name of their garments into some shirt or something that we might have. That just gets you in trouble. Leave it alone. Okay? So they were having been and still cast around with white stoles. In other words, they had that around them earlier and were still there with them all. This great multitude. Both verbs are perfect tenses. The standing and the clothing had occurred, notice carefully, before John saw them. Verse 13. This is the next one of importance this minute. These, the ones having been and still cast around with stoles. You see, there it is again. Now it's put even in emphatic attributive position, namely the white ones. It's going to call your attention to these white ones. White stoles that they've been cast around with and still with. Who are they and from whence came they? See, came. They're already there, past tense. Where'd they come from? They're already there when John saw them. Note, came they. That's correct. No problem with that. Point action in time past. Watch. Now verse 14. These are the ones coming out of the tribulation. Now comes the attributive, namely the great one. Now this is the only use of this phrase in the entire New Testament. These are the ones coming out of the tribulation, namely the great one. Came out, see, back up there, let me see here. But coming out. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I see what I did there for you. Sometimes I have to go back and look at these over myself. You see, if you look at the King James and take your marker, that all helps keeps this straight. These are they which came out. Now, they came. That was past tense, all right. That part's all right. As far as they came, they. Now, then I'm going to get you all mixed up here if I'm not careful. In verse 13, see, you've got came. See, you've got came. And whence came they? Now look at verse 13 to the side and mark it. Who are they and from whence came they? Now that's correct. That's past point action. Now look at verse 14. These are they which came out. As these are the ones coming out. It's going on. It's going on. Present tense. Not came. Came is right in verse 13, but it should be coming out in verse 14 of the tribulation, namely the great one. And that's why I put not came out as in King James. Now that can be misleading, I can see that, but coming out, because this goes with verse 14 alone, and verse 13 is okay. So you can mark the King James okay on 13, and then mark it X wrong on 14. I believe as John was watching, the number was increasing. Now, that's another reason no one was being able to number it. Now, do you understand that? I'm going to review this on the next lesson, I think, anyway, because this is the crucial area. The number was not yet complete, but increasing. And that is all the time. They're coming out, one behind the other. And the minute they came out, they had this robe, and they were clothed with it, and they remained there before the throne. So it's being added to. So no one was being able to number it because it was growing by leaps and bounds. Verse 14. And they washed, not somebody else, they themselves washed stoles, and they whitened them in the blood of the Lamb. Now that's how they got white. That means that these people knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and they were whitened in the blood of the Lamb. And they were in this tribulation. Look across the page, page 8. You've got it all in front of you right here. And these are the ones, because John was living here. I'll go back again. Hold your place there. And go back in to the, well, let's see. Go back all the way to page 5. And notice on 5, we go from Nero 64 to Diocletian 254. And John, living and writing, come to your chart on page 7, between 68 and 70. So he was living during this Smyrna persecution. And so that's what he's talking about. And that's the time when he saw them. And he saw this vision, if you want to call it that, or he saw these things in the heavenlies. And he saw these things at that period of time in history. So here they are. Page 8 to your left, coming out of this period constantly, and as fast as they are coming out, with their robes washed white, these are the Christians, these are the ones that are dying for the Lord, one right behind the other. Many died that were not persecuted. There's no question about that. Many Christians died of old age, or died of disease, or suffering, something else. Can't separate all that. But here they are coming out, and they washed their stoles and whitened them in the blood of the Lamb. So it's all in this kind of period that they're coming. Note, these wash and whiten their own stoles, which must have been dirty, not in their blood as martyrs, but in the Lamb's blood as Savior. So they weren't all martyred, necessarily, at all. And so, now the comment on verse 16, hunger and thirst speak of the privations of many in this life. Hardly a future tribulation of 3.5 years, when you, according to theory, will be promptly executed. Now, if your head's going to be chopped off, it's hardly tribulation even. It's so light to be decapitated is a very small tribulation compared to what these Christians went through. And this is unbelievable. And what the 150 million went through under the Vatican Empire, Papal Empire, why, it's unbelievable. This tribulation they went through is absolutely horrible. And we'll start our next lesson at this point. Thank you.